there's an issue that's been going on about a city council member named Michael Johnson and a Phoenix police officer, a 27-year-old Phoenix police officer, been on the police force for the city of Phoenix for 2 years. Last week, there was a fire in town. Phoenix Fire is on scene. Phoenix PD is on scene. And a member of the city council, Michael Johnson, shows up on the scene and wants to go down and talk to one of his neighbors to make sure his neighbor is okay. Now, remember, the PD is there and the fire department is there, but yet this man needs to go down and check on his neighbor, right? Well, push comes to shove. He's not allowed down there. He ends up on the ground in handcuffs. Now, he's calling it a racial thing. The mayor, before the city council's been briefed fully on this, okay, the mayor calls a public meeting of the city council to have everybody included, right? We're going to let you voice your opinion. Really? About what, Mr. Mayor? 100 African-American community members expressed outrage over an incident last week in which a police officer... So now it's racial. So now the federal authorities have been asked. The FBI has been asked to investigate this police officer. These activists have been demanding that this police officer be removed from the police force. Here's what needs to happen. I need your help in this. Here's what needs to happen today. You need to call Mayor Phil Gordon's office. You need to call the city council, and you need to demand that Michael Johnson be removed from his city council seat. It's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous. It shouldn't happen. But if they're going to have a public meeting where it's hijacked by 100 members of the black community who demand that a police officer be removed before an investigation's been done or completed, before anything else happens. Now, let me explain to you how this has been handled so far. The city of Phoenix police chief himself went to the city council member to talk to him about how this was. I'm sure that members of the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association have done the same thing. You know, he was a member of PLEA while he was a police officer. He's been a friend of the police for a long time. I'm talking about Michael Johnson, by the way. All right? This guy should have been charged with assaulting a police officer that night, and he wasn't, out of respect for his position in the community. All right? You do not. There's no way that this guy can justify his actions. He's an officer for 20 years with Phoenix PD. Him above anybody else should know. There's no way a civilian is going to a burning building to check on a neighbor. Not going to happen. Never in a million years. Who does this guy think he is? It can't happen. He said a battalion fire chief gave him permission. Battalion fire chief didn't give him permission. There's no way a firefighter is given a civilian permission, dressed in street clothes, to go anywhere near a fire. Not going to happen. I guarantee you, this guy tried to push his way past a police officer. I guarantee you he put his hands on that police officer first. I'm just telling you, he should be charged with assaulting a police officer. If he's going to make a big stink, he's got a press conference coming up. I guarantee you Michael Johnson is going to be suing this poor cop. So if they want to play this kind of ridiculous game of racism and nonsense, that's fine. You say what you want, and there are many of you out there in our audience that don't like Jack Harris because you think you don't like what happened with the illegals and everything else. Isn't it funny that the same group of people in our audience who say that he's not strict enough against illegal aliens are going to be the very group of people that have to verify the guy's not possibly a racist, right? Right? I mean, the guy's not a racist. And I'll tell you this. Race didn't play a part in this. They would have body slammed, if that's what they did, that's my word, not theirs, they would have taken a white guy to the ground. They would have taken a Hispanic guy. They would have taken an Asian guy. They would have taken a Middle Eastern guy. They would have taken anyone else to the ground if they tried to get past them when they were refused the opportunity to go and check on a neighbor. Do you understand how completely absurd Michael Johnson's actions were? He is a 20-year veteran of the Phoenix Police Department. And he thinks that it's okay for a civilian to push his way past a police officer. All right, I'll go to the phones. Let's go to Michelle. Michelle, you're up. Go right ahead, Michelle.
You know, Mike Johnson is my councilman, and
okay.
You know, really am offended by the direction that you're taking with this. I absolutely do not agree with what you're saying.
Okay.
I know this man personally from being in our district, and he is a hardworking councilman.
That may be true.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, you know, you're way off base. This is not a man that jumps off the handle. He is not.
He is
a man that is completely relaxed.
He said that he wanted to go and check on a neighbor, and he was not. He was told he was not allowed to go.
And what I guarantee to you is that by knowing him as our councilman, he works for the people. He is
so what does that have to do with this night?
Well, I'm trying to get to the point.
Well, then get to the point.
This man's name. You understand? He's a guy who is a councilman who helps people, and he was probably there helping, concerned, very concerned about his neighbor.
Okay.
That's the kind of guy that he is.
So then what he went down there and he said to the police, I want to go and check on my neighbor. And they told him, no, you can't go down there. Right?
Well, I don't know. You and I were both not there.
No, he said that was true.
He said
he was refused the opportunity to go check on his neighbor. He said that.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. If you have a situation where you have police officers and you have fire department and you have a council member who's been elected by the people of this state, or even if it was in that neighborhood, and he was, are you there?
I'm here.
And he was, if the mayor was there and the mayor was trying to help a neighbor of his, I mean, unless there was some building burning down,
it was.
That was the situation.
The building was on fire, and he said, this is what, Michelle, you're speaking and you don't know what you're talking about.
Michelle,
let me finish. Let me finish. I'm putting you on hold, Michelle, because you're not going to scream over me. Let me finish, and then I'll bring you back on the air. Michelle, the building was on fire. He said his neighbor was disabled and didn't know if his neighbor knew the building was on fire. He said he had permission from a battalion fire chief to go near the fire. The police told him he couldn't. These were Michael Johnson's words. So don't tell me you know what you're talking about, because you don't know what you're talking about. I have to take a break, Michelle. If you want to hold through the break, I will continue this conversation with you and go to other calls. We'll be back after this. For being here this evening, now we're having a discussion about this Councilman Michael Johnson and this police officer, where the disagreement, where it's racially motivated, according to Councilman, FBI may be involved. We went to the break. I was talking to Michelle, who was defending the councilman. I want to go back to Michelle to let her finish her point. Now, Michelle, you've got the floor.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Let me just say again, I know him personally from our neighborhood and our block watch, and I guarantee that this man had absolutely no ill intentions towards the police, towards the fire department. He was reacting, not reacting, he was acting, as he does with everything as a councilman. He acts to help his disabled neighbor.
Okay.
Okay? The thing is I wouldn't take the, and I, you know, I understand that you guys are taking the word of the cops, but I'll tell you one thing. With the Phoenix cops, there's a lot of times you got to wonder what they're going to say, because I've even had one of the commanders, I'm not going to say whose name, who blatantly lied, and I ended up filing complaints against them.
Let me ask you a question. I'm trying to be reasonable. That's what I've said this from the beginning of this. Michelle, explain this to me then. He was a cop for 20 years.
Right.
Okay? There's fire on the scene. And there's a, you know, the fire department's there and the police are there. Why does a councilman, not in a fire uniform and anything protective on him, why does he need to go to the neighbor's house?
Let me finish
my question.
What about a doctor who may not
Michelle,
be in a white gown or whatever?
Michelle, I'm asking, it has nothing to do with a doctor. It has nothing to do with a doctor. Michelle, there's fire department is there and the police are there. Why does he need to go there instead of the police or the fire department? Why does he need to go into that house? Go ahead. Michelle, go ahead.
A disabled man out, or let them know that he was in the building?
Right.
Okay. That's why he was there.
Okay. And he did that. He told the fire department that, and he told the cop that, and then
you and I were both not there, and I had my dealings with the police. Maybe the police were not reacting to him regarding his neighbor, and he was concerned.
Michelle, I am going on the words of Michael Johnson, on what he said.
Right.
He said he wanted to go himself and check on the neighbor, and the police wouldn't let him. Sure.
Why on earth are we not giving any credibility and any credit to this man's title? He is a councilman. This isn't just some neighbor.
Okay. Michelle.
Okay? He also has experience as being a former police officer.
Right. So, Michelle, you think that because he's a councilman, he has the right to walk into a burning building, even if he's told by the...
He's got the experience of being law enforcement and being involved with police. He has experienced more than most
that.
Neighbors that you will ever know.
Cops didn't know that. He didn't tell the cops he was a counselor.
I doubt that.
No, that's what Johnson said. Michael Johnson, again, Michelle, listen, I understand you like the man. I respect that, and I understand you want to defend him. But before you start telling me what he did and didn't say, go read what he said. He said in his official statement to the public. Michelle, you're not listening to me. Michelle, I'm done with you. I am really done with you. I have tried to be respectful, and you won't listen. Michelle, do yourself a favor. Go and read the public statement the day after of Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson said, I never told them I was a councilman. I never told them I used to be a police officer. I really wanted to go and check on my neighbor. I ended up on the ground in handcuffs. I was humiliated. Okay, I have heard from police officers that are shocked because Michael Johnson has been a friend of the cops forever. But I will reiterate what I said before. If you were a cop, and he was for 20 years, there's one thing you know. You don't walk into the scene of an emergency as a civilian. You don't do it. You're not allowed. You are excluded. There's a reason why there is crime scene tape roped off. There's a reason why the fire department wears protective gear. All right? Above all people. He should know better. He should know better than to cross that scene. And I guarantee you, he should have known better. And he didn't. And he tried to go where he had no business. Councilman, no councilman. Mayor, no mayor. And he was given the respect of his position, Michelle, because when they found out he was a councilman, he was taken out of the handcuffs. When he started to complain about the treatment he had, the chief of police, Jack Harris, went to his house to check on him. So don't say he wasn't treated with respect as a councilman, because he was treated with respect. Now, this is ridiculous that we're arguing about what he didn't do. The most ridiculous thing is that this is race related. Okay, this had nothing to do with race. You think that this white cop cared that this was a black man trying to get into that scene? It's a ridiculous, trumped-up charge for no reason. And now 100 black community leaders want this white officer's job. The only racial comments in this have come from the black community. White cop's not screaming racism. White cop ain't saying that this guy didn't like me because I was a white cop. White cop's not saying that at all. It's ridiculous. All right, now is this Nice in Queen Creek or Nice? How do I pronounce that name? It says Nice on here. What's the name here? All right, we're trying to find out. Okay. Nick, I'm sorry. It's Nick in Queen Creek. Nick, go right ahead. Hello,
I'm
Nick.
Sorry. Am I on?
You're on. Go right ahead.
I'm in public safety. Just thought I could shed a little light on
okay,
things.
Please do.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, no, go right ahead. Shed some light on it.
Sorry. Whenever there's a fire, the police have one job, and that is to secure the scene from both vehicles and people wandering.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I don't understand about this, if he was making the information. So anyway, go right ahead. Finish your statement.
I think it may be unlikely that the battalion chief gave him permission to go in the scene, but what very likely did happen is that once he was given a lawful order by the police officer, if the police officer then saw him, you know, subsequently walking up to the house, at that point he could have said, hey, I gave you a lawful order, now you're under arrest. And not that it necessarily involved anything physical, but it could have just been that, a correct order given to him, and then the officer saw him, you know, disobeying it, and could be as cut and dry as that.
And what we're being told is the battalion chief, he said a battalion chief said he was allowed to go down there. The battalion chief said, I never told him he was allowed to go down there. They would never, and if you're in public safety, you know, the one thing that happens is you evacuate everybody. Nobody gets to go near that scene. It's just, you're not allowed. It's just how it is. So I appreciate the call, Nick. Thanks for clearing some things up for us. I'm going to say one thing. On Saturday night, I got to ride along with Phoenix PD. There was a situation in Maryvale on Saturday where the sheriff's office did a search warrant of a house. Not the Phoenix police. The sheriff's office did a search warrant of a house. They found a couple of, you know, they found some stuff that they weren't supposed to be there. I don't know if I can even say, so I'm not going to mention it. You know what they did? They evacuated the neighbors. Before they did anything else, people got evacuated from their homes. You have to leave. For safety reasons. They were said, listen, you got to go. Roped off the whole neighborhood, everybody out. That's just how things go. All right, more of your phone calls, more on healthcare. I'm late for a break, as I've always seemed to be lately. We'll be back after this. Don't go away. Thanks for being here this afternoon. We're going to go to the phones here almost immediately. Want to get to these calls, 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. We're discussing the city council member who is accusing a white police officer, a black city council member accusing a white police officer, not just of abuse of power, but racially charged incident, saying that, race played a factor. That's the part most disturbing to me, that they're claiming that race played a part in this. It's nonsense that race played a part. You want to say the officer exceeded the use of force? Okay, there's an argument to be made there. I don't know if it's a valid one or not, but it's ridiculous to say that this was racially charged. Back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Glendale first. Mike, you're up next. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Mike. I'm interested in your discussion this evening because I am a firefighter in the Valley. I'm actually a captain. Obviously, we work close with all the different police agencies and
right.
stuff. But, when we're on a fire situation, it sounds like this was an active fire. I'm not familiar with exactly what the call itself, but from what you're saying, there was a fire.
Yep.
The firefighters work in a cold zone, a warm zone, and a hot zone. The fire itself would be considered the hot zone. Anything immediately around it would be considered the hot zone. We do not allow any personnel, even uniformed fire personnel, in that hot zone unless they are properly turned out with the fire pants, the turnout gear, the jacket, the SCBA, breathing air, helmet, radio, communications with everybody,
right.
and an assignment to be there. They don't just freelance.
Right.
When they're on there, because that can happen as well.
Right.
People get caught up in a moment, think they see an opportunity, you know, to go in a different way. We don't even allow freelancing. It's all about safety. We want to get the people out. That's our number one priority in any fire, is to get the people out, you know, save property second, if anything is savable. But so even if the fire chief himself would have walked up in there, he would have been escorted out. About the confrontation, no one was there. Did
right.
they overdo it? I don't know about that, but nobody's allowed in there. It doesn't matter whether the fire chief wanted to go check on his grandmother.
Right. And you know,
that's what the fire department is there to do. That's what we're trained to do. We're equipped. I was trying to add up real quick what every firefighter wears equipment-wise. It's probably a little over $10,000 worth of gear that we wear, plus the 14 weeks of training we have.
Right.
And this councilman was an ex police officer. I love the police department, but they're not firemen. We
right.
don't do their job. They don't do our job.
And the police,
so even with his experience being a police officer, and I have two brothers, I have a whole family worth of public safety. Most of them were police officers. A few are now fire, but yeah, we don't do each other's jobs.
Right, and
we support each other.
And as a police officer, a former police officer of 20 years, that's the thing that he should have known more than anything else, is that you don't cross that line. And when you're told by a police officer not to go any closer, you don't. Just like you were saying with the rules within the fire department. If there was a high-ranking official not turned out trying to walk into that hot zone, them above all people should know that they're not allowed in there, and they should obey the commands of the person in charge of that hot zone and not to go any further. You would expect them to stand to a higher standard by knowing not to go near there because they put lives in danger by trying to go somewhere they don't belong.
That's correct. So I don't think that initially this started out to be a racial thing at all. I don't think it'll end up to be a racial thing.
Right.
I think it's purely a safety thing, and it's a support thing. That is exactly what the
yep.
police department does for us on every call, whether it's an auto accident. They try to, you know, make sure we're safe in the street. We try to make sure they're safe in the street.
Yep.
It's all about everybody coming out safe.
Perfect. I appreciate the clarification, Mike. I'm glad to have a voice of reason and someone that actually knows the business to kind of clear things up. I appreciate the call.
You're welcome, Mike. Enjoy the show.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. Let's go to Jason in Glendale. Jason, what do you have to say on this, sir?
Yes, sir. A couple of points. First thing is, you should add that part. If that officer would have violated and let that gentleman walk past the perimeter position he had been posted at, that officer would have been in trouble. And had that person hurt, then that officer would have been liable civilly. And the second point is, just after his command presence being there and giving verbal commands, if he was not able to get that citizen or any other citizen to comply, I taught in the academy, you go to your defensive tactic and you're going to put them into an make the arrest with the handcuffs, but if they fail to comply, you are going to get at arm's length from a defensive person and put them on the ground on their face. It's safer for you, and it's safer for them to keep them from struggling.
Yeah, and that's the issue I have with this, Jason, is that as a former police officer, I keep saying this over and over again, and the cops I've talked to said they're really surprised about him making this a racial thing because he has been such a friend to cops for a long time. He spent such a long time as a police officer. The fact of the matter is, above all else, as a 20-year veteran of the police department, he of all people should know he puts officers in danger when he does this kind of thing. If he was to push past them, he knows better than anyone else about the chain of command and about what happens at that scene, that they are told, the police officers, to make sure nobody crosses that line. It could have been a crime scene, could have been a danger to the councilman himself, and above all else, he should have known better. Am I right or wrong in assuming that?
You're absolutely correct, and I think the $64 million question is, would we still be having this discussion had it been a black police officer?
Yeah, and that's the other question I have, because I don't think it would have been any difference if it had been a black officer and a black councilman, or white on white, or Hispanic, or Asian, or anything else. I think this cop had nothing to do with race. If it turns out that the officer overstepped, that would be a different argument. But the fact of the matter is, it would never be, I don't think that this is going to turn out to be a racial thing. So, Jason, I appreciate the call.
Thanks, sir.
All right, have a good evening. All right, let's go to Linda in Phoenix. Linda, go right ahead. What do you have to say, ma'am?
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that it just bothers me that the councilman gets to have his, you know, press conferences and all this media attention, and he gets to say his whole side of the story, but the officer has to remain mute. He gets no voice whatsoever.
Yeah. It is, and the other thing is too is I'm glad on one hand that they're not speaking out, but yeah, you're right. What's bad about this is this officer will now be forever linked with this thing. You know what I mean? This is one of those things when you scream racism, or if a woman says the word rape or molestation, it could be completely false, but that you can't unspeak that, and it just seems to be damaging whenever something this accusation is made, false or otherwise.
Yes, and this poor man can do nothing to defend himself.
Yep, right now he's not able to do anything. But,
nope.
You know, we'll see how it plays out through the whole laundry list of what's going to happen next. We'll see how this all plays out. Linda, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Mike.
Have a good evening. Now, I think 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. If you want to weigh in on this or you want to weigh in on the healthcare debate, what we'll do is we'll take some calls in the next segment. We may have some audio that we're going to play. Email address, if you're not able to get through on the phones, is mikebroomhead@kfyi.com. More after this. Don't go away.
Barry Young, tomorrow morning at 7. Mike Broomhead now on News Talk 550 KFYI.
KFYI.com.
Thanks for being here this evening. Going back to the phones here in just a moment, talking about the councilman, talking health care. Let me say this. Let me just weigh in with this. Hear me out for just a moment. Phoenix PD specifically, I admit I'm pro-cop. Cops in my family, very, very close friend is a cop. I love the guys he works with. I got to go out with those guys this weekend and watch them work once again. I saw great police work. I saw a scene with some punk kids stabbing people. No reason, no rhyme, no reason. Drunk kids just stabbed some people. One guy almost died. The guy is a graduate student here for just to work and go to school and get stabbed by some punk kid. They ran off, they hid. I watched these cops work together, cordon off the scene, set up a perimeter, chased these idiots down, caught every single one of them, recovered the weapon. The lives were saved. I watched these police work. But you know what? These cops do an impossible job. This is why I'm so pro-cop. Here's what happens. They are always the bad guys. We want them out there. We want them stopping the criminals. We want them saving the lives. We want them protecting the people. But then when push comes to shove and something happens and somebody gets taken to the ground and this guy wants to jump up and down and scream and say, I was treated unfairly. Well, wait a minute. When do we get to examine? When are we allowed to examine the actions of the city council member? We're supposed to keep our hands off, A, because he's black, and B, because he's a council member. Give me a break. He's like any other citizen. If some other citizen tried to cross crime scene tape, if this area is cordoned off, if anybody else tried to go through there, they get taken down to the ground for two reasons. One, for their own good, if they're too stupid to know you don't go near a burning building. And two, they get taken to the ground to protect lives. They got no business there. At what point are we justified in looking into this councilman? Now, I'm a racist because I want to look into this councilman's actions. It has nothing to do with his race or his status or anything else. And if it turns out the councilman was right, I'll come on the air and apologize. But I'm sure as I'm sitting here, I guarantee you he put his hands on that cop first. I guarantee you this guy justified in his, I'm just looking out for my neighbor, whatever. Got no business there. And a cop for 20 years, you should have known better. Todd in Phoenix, you're going to be next. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Mike, thanks. You know, if you walk up to a cop and you fail to follow reasonable instructions, you are responsible for his reinterpretation of the environment. This is unbelievable.
Well, and yeah, and that's at what point does someone ask this guy in public, shouldn't you have known better than to try to go into a scene of a fire? You used to be a cop. You know you don't push the authority of an officer on the scene.
Exactly. He's on the post 20 years ago. What would he have done in the scenario? And let's stop even talking about that other issue. I'm not even going to put a word to it. I don't care about the other issue.
I don't either, but he's the one raising it. You understand. And now we've got the NAACP and the Reverend Tillman is out there now saying that this is a racial issue. Today at a public meeting that the mayor called with the city council before the city council had any evidence, just as a public forum, 100 black leaders, this was from the newspaper, 100 African-American leaders showed up to pummel this officer, A, to call for this officer to be fired, and B, now they want the FBI to investigate.
Well, Mike, now we got an issue to burn him to the ground politically when he comes up for a re-election, or he should just be reviewed in office because he's costing us money. He's costing you money, and he's costing me money frivolously.
Yeah, it's an absolute travesty as far as I'm concerned. Todd, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks. All right, let's go to Sean and Mesa next. Sean, I love the question. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering when exactly the councilman and the cop are going to sit down with President Obama for beers.
Maybe with the mayor we should have. Mayor Phil Gordon should have a beer summit. I'm going to recommend it. I think the mayor is going to be on the show on Thursday. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Thursday. We haven't got it confirmed yet. If he is, I'm going to ask him that question just for you. I promise.
All right. Thanks.
That's a great question. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. All right. I've got a little bit of time left. Let's go to Dwayne, the cab driver. Dwayne, sorry. I appreciate you holding on as long as you did. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, sir, for having me. Of course, I've got police and fire in my family too. The question I always do my little taxi cab surveys. Underlying question is people want to know who was and to what degree was the neighbor relationship to Councilman Johnson.
He just said he was a friend. I don't know how good of a friend say he was a friend.
This might be important. You know, what was his disability? Was he an invalid? Was he in a wheelchair? Is he a disabled person because he's got asthma and can't walk into the grocery store? So he needs a handicap, tag on his license plate. You know, is he a person that's? I think those are important facts to look at. I would think. You know, is this? The way it's portrayed in the media, and that whack job earlier, Michelle, she sounds like what's her name from the Open Borders daughter. And I think if you look into who that woman is too,
I don't know.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying, Mike?
Yeah, I do. And Dwayne, I understand exactly what you're saying. I've got 30 seconds left in the show, but here's the deal, Dwayne. I appreciate the call as always. Here's the deal. Here's where I disagree with you, Dwayne. I don't think any of that matters. Here's what matters. The police were on the scene, and the fire department was on the scene. Who needs to go to that burning building? If he walks up and says, listen, there's a neighbor there disabled in the building. Go make sure he knows the building's on fire. Please make sure he's out. The councilman's a hero. I agree with the councilman on that. But you think you know better than the police officers and the firefighters on the scene? Come on, you're a cop for 20 years. This ain't racial, and you should have known better. That's all. Thanks for being here. All the great phone calls. Tomorrow, we're back with more. Have a great night. God bless.